This episode is brought to you by Morty, Buzzshot, Cogs by Clockwork Dog, Recon, and Patreon supporters like you.
Cogs by Clockwork Dog is an easy-to-use software-hardware platform for running interactive events, including escape rooms and other immersive experiences. Their plug-and-play hardware seamlessly integrates with their software, so you can create a show with lighting and sound cues without having to write a single line of code. Map all kinds of inputs to outputs by building up simple logic steps, which determine what you want to happen and when. If you're new to immersive tech, Cogs can empower you to create without writing any code at all. Using simple building blocks, you can create any kind of puzzle in the software, and their system will tell the hardware exactly what to do. And if you're a seasoned maker, they have an abundance of tools to expand your capabilities. Create any form of logic by using their expression language, build your own plugins for external software or hardware, and create your own custom content for things like physical or touchscreen interactions. Get the Cogs starter set for only $130 plus free shipping to the USA. This bundle is usually valued at $257. You can learn more and purchase your starter set at cogs.show. Use code REPOD at checkout. That's REPOD. Link and details in the show notes.
Welcome to the Reality Escape Pod, your lifeline when you need a getaway from the real world. I'm David Spira, alongside my co-host, PG Law. Together, we're exploring immersive gaming from all angles, and we'll be joined by guests who really know their stuff. This season, we are shining a spotlight on Southern California in celebration of our convention, Recon, which will be in Universal City, California, on August 18th and 19th, 2024. Tickets are on sale now at realityescapecon.com. And today's guests are the owners of Confusion Escapes in San Bernardino, California, Stacy and Al Delcom. Their creations, The Last Job, The Treehouse, and 45 Lambkin Lane are as unique as they are lovingly designed. Welcome, Stacy and Al.
Hi.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to have you join us here. I remember when The Last Job came out, that truck in the lobby, it just made such a splash across the SoCal escape room scene. And then again, when you guys opened the Treehouse, the photos were just absolutely incredible. Some of the best escape room group photos I have seen. You know, it really had a stunning impact. And so I'd like to start with the most obvious question, which is, there is an extremely large semi-truck in your lobby. It is a gigantic truck. It's in one of the games, and it doesn't look like it was very easy to get in there. So what's the story with the truck?
The story with the truck is it was not easy getting it into the facility itself. It took about a day or so to almost get that thing in there.
That's a lot less time than I was expecting.
It was actually a full running truck when we bought it. We picked it up at a junkyard and it was running. It was just couldn't be used on the streets anymore. So we decided to purchase it.
We had to take down the whole front of the building pretty much. So all of the windows you see when you pull into Confusion, all those windows came down and we packed the truck up into what is now considered Confusion. It was completely empty at the time, but backed it up into it and then built everything around it, walls included.
I'm kind of curious, what was your landlord's reaction to seeing this?
It was actually their suggestion.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so we have a roll-up in the back where the Game Master area is at, and we were thinking, oh, we're just going to break through that wall, do the roll-up, roll it in, and they're like, why go through all that when you just take the front down? And we're like, okay.
And the truck is half in the lobby as a really cool lobby prop. And then the rest of it is in the game. So you just built the wall around it where you're separating it from the lobby. Is that right?
Yes.
It's a really cool kind of calling card. All right. With that giant question out of the way, how did you two find your way into the escape room world?
Stacy's best friend invited us to go play an escape room. Stacy was like, hey, let's go play in this escape room. I was like, well, what is that? It doesn't sound fun. I was kind of skeptical about it. Anyhow, long story short, I remember it was Dr. X in downtown LA, And we went there and we played with some people at the time. This was back in 2017. We had played with some people that were enthusiasts from Australia, if I'm not mistaken. And they were already flying around the world playing games. And so we played it. And that night, we pretty much fell in love. After that game, I think that night, we were like asking them and other people, hey, where are these escape rooms at? We want to play some more. And pretty much that's how we got started.
I know that is a horror escape room, right? You did a horror game for your very first game.
Yeah, it was on Halloween day. So,
nice. Mm-hmm.
But that game at the time, it was put together with just some fake walls and trash bags. And it was just a makeshift game. I think it was a pop-up at the time.
Yeah, before they moved to a building, it was like an alley.
All right, so you played your first escape room. You fell in love. You started playing games. How do you jump from that to deciding to open your own escape rooms?
Well, we used to do haunts out of our house. Like, we started building haunted houses in our garage, and then we got really well known in the neighborhood. And then when COVID hit, we got a letter saying that if we opened an in-home haunt again, that we would be charged $5,000. And we weren't charging the kids anything to come through besides like a can of food. It was literally whatever the kids can scrounge up. We weren't charging to come through. And so we were like, $5,000 when we're trying to do something for the kids in the neighborhood just seemed like a huge. So we're like, fine, we'll just open an escape room. And that's how it went. Literally.
Wow. Okay, so you guys were like that house in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yes. Giving out the good candy. Yeah. And got the music on blast and full out. Yes. Like a home haunt.
Yes.
Oh, so
that's awesome.
Yeah.
How did you two meet?
Online. Facebook.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I was a single mom at the time, and I'm in dentistry, so that's my 9-to-5. So teeth are the very first thing I notice about people. And so him having the teeth and smile that he has kind of went from there.
You fell in love with his teeth first.
Kind of.
He does have a great smile.
He does.
Al, it's my understanding that you've done construction work and prop builds for other escape room companies. I'm curious to hear more about the work that you've done in that space.
My background is an engineer, mechanical engineer. And after building our game, a lot of people that came through and built our game was like, hey, this is really cool. This, some of the things you do haven't been incorporated in escape rooms. And then I met a lot of cool people like Vince Stevens, the Beckers, and other escape room owners that have come through. And they just asked, hey, would you be interested in building me a prop? Or if you'd be interested into building a game for me? And to be honest, once I started working with Vince and Nathan, and my work itself put me more out in a wide range of being able to build for other people. And it's actually growing pretty big. And it's cool. It's busy. Keeping my 9-to-5 and building escape rooms, it takes a big toll. But that's pretty much how that came about.
It makes sense. Reliable prop builders are hard to come by. And once people start talking about you as being someone who can get the job done, name gets around quick.
Oh, it does.
So within Confusion Escape, how do you distribute the work? Do you have different things that you each own within it, or is it sort of a giant shared project?
It's both. It's shared. Mm-hmm. The only thing I don't put my hands on is a lot of the decoration. That's all Stacy when it comes to the decor and the colors and things like that. But you put a hammer in my hand and tell me a puzzle that you want, I'll build that all day.
So like when we look at something like Treehouse, you're responsible for going and building all of those constructions. And then Stacy, you were the one who made it look like this delightful dream world.
Exactly. Yeah, I come up with the idea and the look, and then I pretty much describe that to him and then say, build this. And then he builds.
So for anyone who hasn't played the Treehouse, it is a legitimate treehouse. Like, you have to go upstairs, you're suspended in this tree, there's these kind of bridges that connect them, and you're running across. There's like 5 or 6 adults running across these things. So I gotta say, I'm glad to hear that you are an actual mechanical engineer.
Yeah.
And it's probably been built with some safety in mind.
I have to say, when I played that, there was never a point when I was up in the treehouse where I thought, I'm in danger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've definitely thought, I am not sure that I am making the best life decisions right now, but like, I never had those red flags going off.
That's cool. Yeah. That's much appreciated. Yeah.
That's one of our biggest things. Whenever we build, we always look at, okay, if I am an 8-year-old child, how can I make this so I don't hurt myself? Or if I'm a 75-year-old woman, like, how do I make this so that this doesn't hurt me? Safety is our biggest thing when it comes to our escape rooms. Like, we build them so solid, and we test and test before we even beta test.
It shows, and you can definitely feel it in how sturdy and sound everything feels in your building, which, like I said, not always a given.
Yeah.
Do you have any examples of things that you felt like you had to take extra care with in your escape room in terms of safety, that maybe from experiences in other escape rooms, you were like, oh, we got to make sure we really take care of this issue? Anything that jumps to mind?
For me, mine was sanding of the wood. Since Treehouse especially has so much live and real wood in it,
yes,
it was sanding and sanding, even to the point where sometimes Al was like, it's sanded enough. And I'm like, trust me, my hands and my legs and even sitting tell me it's not. Like, we need to sand, because that was my biggest thing with the other escape rooms that I've played before, getting a splinter or getting a scratch or getting something from like a nail or something. So that for me was the biggest, making sure all the nails are hidden and there's no pokies.
The early days, PG, I don't know if this was one of your experiences, because you got in a bit later. The early days of escape rooms for me was just constantly having my hands cut with splinters, cut with nails. I got very serious about making sure that I knew exactly when my last tetanus shot was in that first year of playing escape rooms, because I was like, it is ridiculous how many times I was getting poked.
Yeah.
It's the Wild West back then. So what has been the most important lesson that each of you have learned from building and running haunts out of your home?
One of the biggest lessons that I learned is the safety, obviously. People, if you think they'll do it, they will. So you have to build it accordingly. I remember when we first opened up one of our haunts, we had did it just the normal plastic type of thing. So many people ran through those walls within the first hour, and we're just sitting there looking at it like
the old Kool-Aid man move.
Yeah,
literally. right.
Through walls. And so we're just sitting back looking at it like, well, we need actual walls.
I can imagine, because there's not even that 10-minute walkthrough with the home haunt. There's literally no rules.
Our home hunts were a little different. They were kind of an escape room without the puzzles. So you couldn't advance through them until something happened, and then you can advance to the next part of the game. But it was a little different than most of the haunts.
Okay. So you give us a little taste. Can you give us a walkthrough of how elaborate your home haunts were then?
They were to the point where we had elevator simulators in our haunts. We had moving platforms. We had closing walls. We had people walking on walls and ceilings. It was pretty intense.
You had people walking on the walls and ceilings. You mean like you would hire?
No.
It was me.
It was Stacey.
So bungees and
wow,
cords, and we had animatronics.
You're not playing around.
No.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Do you have videos or photos of the haunt experience that you built?
Yeah.
The second year, I think we didn't really do too many the first year, but I think the second and third year we have.
Yeah.
You will find those in the show notes, because we are really nice. Excited to see that.
Yeah.
We would get access of about maybe 600-700 people a weekend.
Oh, it was insane. People waiting like 2 hours.
And this was basically a food drive that you were doing out of your home?
We didn't start charging. I think, and the most we charged like the second or third year were like 50 cents to a dollar. Like whatever, really. It was just change the kids could find. Because my biggest thing was we wanted to give the neighborhood kids something to do. Because when I had moved in with Elle, I noticed there weren't too many kids around. And growing up, we're used to the kids coming to the door and getting candy. And I'm like, where is that for these kids? So we wanted to be that for them.
That's amazing. I definitely feel that in my neighborhood, where I'm like, there are more kids here than are knocking on my door. There's a voice in my head that's like, give them a reason to knock.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Have Lisa suspended on a bungee cord.
Coming down from the roof. Exactly.
It would take us about 3 months to build our haunts. We start building in like July to get it open by October 1st. And it wind up going till sometime January.
That's amazing.
till we just had to stop it. Yeah.
The creepiest part with the home haunts is our washer and dryer is outside. And so carrying a load of wash through the maze, because of course we didn't do a straight shot to the washer. So you'd have to walk through the maze, you know, at night was the most scariest, because if you're walking, you know, and it's like, there's all these other animatronics popping out at you and having to step over dead bodies. And that was the creepiest part. Yeah.
I bet your kids love that.
Yeah. Our son was like, yeah, I'm not going out there.
We're taking a moment to thank our sponsor, Morty. Morty is a free app for discovering, planning, tracking, and reviewing escape rooms, haunts, and other immersive social outings. And Morty is now available for all to use on its fantastic website experience, iPhone app, and its new Android app, available in the Google Play Store now. I believe in Morty so much that I have a stake in it as an advisor. One of the things that Morty allows escape room owners to do is respond to the reviews that are posted on their games. This is a really powerful tool on a whole bunch of different levels if you use it right. It's powerful because it's a really great way to get actionable feedback, positive and negative. Negative feedback can be great if you figure out how to use it to improve the experience. And if you're dealing with somebody who has an axe to grind with you, look, you know, it happens. Respond rationally and move on. Either way, customers will see that there is someone who cares behind the account.
You can learn more at morty.app/repod. That's R-E-P-O-D to sign up and get a special badge for our listeners. Link and details in the show notes. You are located in Redlands, California, which is a bit of a drive east from LA. It's almost an hour east from like downtown LA. What are some of the pros and cons of that type of location for you?
Well, with San Bernardino being just like a pass-through city, there's nothing people come here to actually see unless they're going to the casino or they're going to Big Bear. They usually pass through San Bernardino unless the Orange Show or a rave or something's going on. But considering that we have now made a name for ourselves, people actually make the drive to just come to our establishment.
I did.
You did. So the pros is people going to like Palm Springs in LA and they know escape rooms and being right off the freeway, it does help a lot for the pros. And the cons being that we're not in a major city like Orange County, LA, or San Francisco or something like that. People don't really just know about us unless it's a word of mouth or they're passing through the city.
That makes sense. It was a drive, but it was an easy drive. And for me, usually my expectation of driving around Southern California to play escape rooms is that I'm mostly battling traffic. With getting out to you, I mostly knew exactly how long it was going to take. It was pretty straightforward. So like, I didn't mind the drive. And it's a cool place.
Nice.
And it's a lot cheaper probably than having to rent something of the same size in LA or in a city.
For sure.
Yes, absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah, so I think it makes up for it because now you have the room to kind of do something crazy like you did with putting a truck in your lobby, building a giant treehouse, and you wouldn't have the space to do that in LA proper, I don't think.
No. Mm-mm.
Let's talk about your games a little bit more. You currently have three very different games, The Last Job, The Treehouse, and 45 Lambkin Lane. While many escape room companies have games that feel different from one another, I feel like you have pushed that harder than most. Is that like an accurate read? Is that a deliberate thing?
It was.
We wanted to reach out to pretty much every genre of people that wanted to play escape rooms, whether it's the whimsical, whether it's the action, or if the people that like horror. That's the reason why we did that, just so everyone kind of can get a feel of what they like, or they can get a taste for something different if they came to play a certain game.
Right.
I really like that breakdown.
Now, why didn't you start with horror since that was, you know, your background with the home haunts?
I felt that our first game had to almost cater to every walk of life, right? Male, female, older, younger. Like we had to be able to with all of that to where horror, I feel like there's a small percentage that really love it all year versus just around Halloween. So I felt like we were limiting ourselves if we started off with horror.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I also think that if you start with horror, people start to think of you as a horror company.
Yes.
And then you have to fight that. Whereas if you start off with something that isn't horror and they're like, okay, cool, this is an escape room company. And then you open up your horror game and they're like, okay, that escape room company now has a horror game.
Yes, exactly. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And we also wanted to make sure we had something that was family friendly so that we could start paying the bills.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's actually a very good progression because you came out with, did you come out with The Last Job first?
Yes.
Was that the first room?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Last Job has got action thriller and you're getting just the median, right? Like teenagers, it's kind of action. You're like doing a heist. Mm-hmm. So everybody likes it. And then your second game, The Treehouse, is definitely more family friendly, but you've already established the cred with Last Job and now you're family friendly. And then you went into horror. So people aren't intimidated right off the bat. That makes a lot of sense.
We get a lot of the families, like you were saying, with The Last Job in The Treehouse that absolutely love our rooms. And when we opened the horror, a lot of them were like, oh my God, I'm so scared, but still push themselves to go through it just to experience our rooms because they like our designs that much.
And they trust you.
Exactly. And so that's a compliment to us, or to me at least, to know that people trust us enough to give them still that type of room without diving into their fears of like live actor, especially.
Do you have different levels of horror for 45 Lampkin Lane?
We do, which right now we are offering a no actor experience. Now that we've gotten the actor experience out the way, kind of cater back to the people who will 100% not do actor. We're still giving them that creep atmosphere without the live actor being in your face. Because there is still one kind of behind the scenes doing jump scares, things like that, which people seem to be a lot more comfortable with.
That makes sense. I can see that. There's something different between having someone triggering stuff and having someone be very present in the space.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I know people that will begrudgingly come play horror games, but only if there's no actor. The actor thing, I think, definitely kicks it up a notch.
It's funny. I almost feel the opposite. Like, I have a lot of trust in that the actor doesn't want to hurt me and doesn't want me to hurt them.
Yeah.
And trusting the mechanism sometimes is the thing where I'm like, okay, I have no idea what's about to happen.
Exactly.
But I can trust a human to be a rational actor.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Same.
Well, Lampkin gives you a little bit of everything. Mechanisms, jump scares, and actor.
Yes.
It sure does. I'm curious. You built a number of different unique mechanisms into Lampkin.
Yeah.
Mechanisms and moments. And I can't impress upon listeners enough. Those mechanisms and moments are very much a hand-in-glove thing. It's a complex production. What are you most proud of in that game?
In Lampkin, I think Stacy was really driven with the way that game turned out and the space, how unique it was. So I think the most thing that I'm proud of is just overall how the game turned out and how everything works so flawlessly for everyone to not notice what's going to happen, but it happens.
You definitely got me in that game with one thing that certainly shifted my perspective. I'll say.
Literally.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I was not expecting that at all. I'm also wondering, because your games are all so different from one another, what inspires each of you?
Honestly, a lot of our rooms come from Easter eggs. A little bit of backstory. The Last Job is based around my dad, who is a truck driver. Hence why we decided to open our first room being a semi-truck. I'm a huge daddy's girl, so of course we were safe basing around him. Manny is his actual name. There's a lot of Easter eggs in a lot of our rooms. Treehouse. The big photo that's in Treehouse is actually our niece, our first niece on Elle's side. Bobby, which is the owner of the Treehouse, is his grandmother, his actual grandmother's name. And then 45 Lampkin Lane, I'm a huge Michael Myers fan. And anyone who knows Michael Myers knows that he was raised on 45 Lampkin Lane. There's just a bunch of Easter eggs around each room.
So family and film.
Yeah.
It's an art. Building escape rooms and building props and giving people the aha and the satisfaction of playing an escape room and being able to see what I'm capable of, to me, it's an art. And it's a satisfying moment. Like, I get to show off my skills and abilities and give people something that they like and something different.
I can definitely see some of the places you've shown off in these games, and it's nice work.
Thank you.
On that subject, we talked about it a little bit before, but the Treehouse is a game that has been standing out to me more and more as time has gone on. And it ties back to a conversation I was having with Dan Egnor about a month ago after I had played The Alchemist by Sherlock in Amsterdam. And one of the things he had remarked to me about that game, and it was so true, is that it's the rare escape room where you want to be in that space. It's just beautiful and it's fun and joyous to be in it. And I think that's also true of the Treehouse. It is just a charming place. Like, has anyone ever decided they want to do a picnic in there or something like that?
So many people. We've been positioned by so many people to open it up and do tea parties for little girls, to have birthday parties, to have movie night, to have so many different ideas.
Proposals. People, yeah. Engagements.
So many people want to just relax. They're like, can we just rent out the room and just zen off in the Treehouse part? And we're open to all of it once it stops booking.
Since we're so big on immersion, the Treehouse had to be a center point when people played it. That's what Stacy was going for when they found this magical place. When they walked in there, it was, she wanted a sense of immersion. Like, you really were in a treehouse in whimsical place.
And mission accomplished.
Thank you.
I'm glad that we got to spend so much time in it, because I remember when I was seeing all the photos coming out, everyone was posting photos of the Treehouse. It's not that often that I find group escape room photos, the post-game photos, that memorable, especially when other people are posting them. Most of the time you're like, who cares? But I saw these and it was just, it was a treehouse and they were in it and it looked so cool. And then you're thinking, well, it's maybe it's just a small thing off in the corner. It's the coolest prop. That must be why they're taking photos, you know. And it was great that you go in and you got to actually spend that much time in it. And I think it actually lived up to my expectations.
Oh, good.
That's good.
That's good.
That's what we were looking for. And the way the game was designed is so that everyone's not gathered around one puzzle. You can split up, do your own thing, and enjoy it all differently.
BuzzShot is escape room software, powering business growth, player marketing, and improving the customer experience. They offer an assortment of pre- and post-game features, including robust waiver management, branded team photos, and streamlined review management for Yelp, TripAdvisor, Google Reviews, and Morty. BuzzShot now also has integration with our other Repod sponsors, Morty and Cogs. Market research suggests that your players are much more likely to check a text message than they are to check an email, and I can definitely vouch for that. BuzzShot sends customizable messages and review requests to all of your players by either text message or email, improving your post-game engagement and making it super easy for your guests to post your branded team photos.
Dave Staffel from Bewilderbox says, if you're looking to increase post-game engagement, it's a no-brainer.
Streamline your marketing and grow your escape room business. Repod listeners get an extended free trial and 20% off your first 3 months with no setup fees or hidden charges. Visit buzzshot.com/repod, that's R-E-P-O-D, to learn more. Link and details in the show notes. As you've told us, you are seasoned escape room players, you're big enthusiasts. What do you most look forward to when playing escape rooms?
For me, honestly, I'm open to everything. Like, I want to experience everything from the bad to the good, just the ability to have fun. That's what I like. And I can't really say, like, everyone always asks me, like, what's your favorite room? And I'm like, there's so many to me, because I'm just like, I like every room for different reasons.
When people ask me that, my answer is, it changes every day.
Seriously.
But if you're asking me right now, here's what's off the top of my head.
Yeah. Same. I get that 100%.
I look for immersion. When I walk into a room, I want to feel like I'm in that space. I don't want to, when I walk in there and I walk out, I want to feel like I was lost for that amount of time that I was in the room. And I also look for a good set design. And I look for not all full tech games, but it gives you a little bit of physical and tech. That's to me is like the best, because I like the satisfaction of either cracking open a lock or being able to solve a puzzle. If I can find that in a game, that's a plus for me.
I like it when you can feel the creator's intent. When you walk into a space and the actions you're taking and the way it looks and the way the story is progressing, I like it when I can feel what that creator wanted me to experience. And the higher the level of clarity is around that, the more I feel rewarded by it.
Yes.
I think for me is that addictive flavor for escape rooms that I just can't get enough of is the state of flow. When you're in a really good room and you get that flow going, you and your friends, you're like one mind. You do this, I'm doing this. We're shouting the answers to each other. And everybody knows now we're all turning and running to this thing. Like that, to me, there's just nothing like that feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Puzzle flow and thematic is very important. If you're puzzling, your thematic flow, everything, it's a plus.
From a design standpoint, are there any games that come to mind as really inspiring you in the work that you're doing? Is there anything that you've encountered where you walked out and you were like, okay, this has shifted the way that I'm thinking about the way I'm doing the work?
Not shifted as a way, because we're pretty unique with our designs. But I will say, not a game, but a builder that helps me and inspires me is Vince Stevens from Mindtrap. Him and I have the same outlook on building games and the same mindset. He inspires me, and I think we inspire each other because we're really close now and we have the same build, and he's about the only person I've ever met that I could actually work with that we can bounce ideas off of. Not a game specifically, but any of his work or working with him.
That's great. That's awesome. Al, as a contracting builder, were there any lessons that you took away from the projects that you worked on for other people that have shaped some of the choices you've made when creating your own games?
Not really, because if someone gives me an idea, they never say, this is what I want. They say, hey, this is what I would like to have. Whatever you can do to get it close to what I want, I'm happy with. Or if they have something, then I'll tell them it'll probably be better and work better and be more durable if you did it this way, if that answers your question.
It does. I envy you. You have good clients.
He does pull in a lot of knowledge-wise from his actual 9-to-5, the engineering. That definitely helps, I think, a lot when they say, okay, I want this. He brings in, well, safety reasons, we have to do it like this type of thing. So I think his background definitely helps a lot. The bathroom, my bathroom inspiration came from Charlie's game up at Escape the River. His wife's, the bathroom, she created it beautifully. And before we even opened, I was like, my bathroom's going to look, it's going to give that impression that Charlie's wife's bathroom gives. So I did get it from her. Yeah.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I forgot about it. And you have one of the nicest bathrooms in the business.
Thank you.
That's right. I remember because one person went in there and they're like, you guys got to see this. And then we all piled in.
Everybody, every customer does. Everybody.
Love a good themed bathroom.
Yes, for sure.
I know that a number of different Southern California escape room owners collectively took over the wonderful Breaking Point facility. And I believe that you are somehow among that group. I'm curious what the backstory is on this mutual acquisition.
Again, just being friends with Vince and Christine and Jim, it's just one of those things where we got along, we hit it off when we first met them, and they liked my work and basically felt that they could trust me to do things for them. So, and also Carla as well, because she's part of that. And they just absolutely wanted me to help them. So they tested me and had me help them build a game. And once doing that, it pretty much became a partnership from there and a good friendship as well.
And so are these our owners of other local escape rooms?
Correct. Jim and Christine own Locked Adventures, I believe, in Oceanside. And Carla is partnered with them at Breaking Point. And also, I believe she's with another escape room as well.
That's awesome. When I think about an escape room that had some of the best flow, I think about Headcase for me, which is just a solid escape room, just all around. it doesn't tip the scale on any one thing in particular, but it is just such a solid room. Great props, great story, great puzzles, but the flow, knowing that you solved a puzzle, everybody knew you weren't spinning your wheels going, did we do it or not? Just the clarity on how the progression was, for me, was so good that it actually has made it pretty high up on my list of top escape rooms.
It's a beautiful game. I just want to say to you and to everyone involved in saving those games, I am so thankful to everyone involved for preserving that, because those games are legitimately special and it would have been a tragedy to see them fade away.
For sure.
True.
I know that you guys are incredibly busy because not only are you running this escape room, which now has three games, you both have still kept your day jobs. And you're also raising a family. How do you make that all work?
I have no idea.
Starting at 4 in the morning and going to bed 11, 12 o'clock at night.
Yeah, honestly.
It must be such a hard balancing act.
It is. And most of our kids are older now. Our son is 20 and our daughter's 22. So that helps us out a lot. We started doing it a little later after they were older. So that helps. About the only thing that's pretty much holds us back on a lot that we like to do, whether it's traveling, building for other people, or doing the builds and running our games 24/7, is our 9-to-5s. I continue to work mine. For one, it's, you know, we still need some of the things that the 9-to-5 offer. And I love my job. It's something I've been doing for 20 plus years. And I have a good relationship with my boss and everything. So that's something that I don't think I would just walk away from right now. But it does take a toll sometimes. There's days where I can pretty much shut down and be down for 2 days and can't do anything.
My wife, Lisa, and I, we are working full time on top of running all of the different ludicrous projects we have going on for Room Escape Artist. And so we very much feel that. There are times where you're like, this is so incredibly rewarding. And then there are times where you're like, I just really want a week off.
Yes. Yes.
How about you, Stacy? If it were up to you, would you want to run the escape room full time, or you like having something else that's different to do?
Well, currently I'm still at my 9-to-5 on Monday and Tuesday, which is when we're closed at Confusion. And then Wednesdays and Thursdays, I still run those games. We're still always there on the weekend too, obviously, but I like traveling. So I wish we had a little more traveling time, but the more trained we get our employees and the more reliable they become, we can kind of start doing that.
Something to look forward to.
For sure.
Your website lists an upcoming game titled Carbies. Can you share anything about this experience?
Okay. So I have a personal theory going on about Arby's, the food restaurant chain, because
I cannot wait for this.
I was like, oh my goodness, what if they're like laundering money or cooking people? I don't know, something along those lines, right? And I'm like, because how are they popping up on every corner, but nobody's ever in the restaurant? I swear, it's a thing. It's a whole thing with me. And so we'll drive by an Arby's and I'm like, I guarantee you there's only the person working the counter and nobody's in there. How are they open? Like, how are they paying bills?
I love Arby's. I eat Arby's all the
time. Do you?
PD's the one person in there.
You're the first person to ever say
I'm
that.
I'm the one person in there with the horsey sauce and the Arby's sauce. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm all in on the beef and cheddar.
Oh, man.
So I'm like, man, especially after pandemic. The pandemic hit and I felt like Arby's bought out like a couple food chains and were popping up like Starbucks. And I'm like, first of all, Arby's, how? Second of all, they bought out like a really popular food chain. I forget which food chain they bought out, but it was a popular one. I'm like, no, how? How did you do that, Arby's?
But Arby's is one of those things. People don't sit at home but, oh, I'm hungry, I'm craving Arby's. I've never heard anyone say that. It's just like, who goes to? So if you Google it, it was just like this whole big thing. So we were like, let's make a game out of this.
So so going back to Carby's, the logo is going to be Carby's and the sign is going to be Arby's, but the K is going to be hanging off. And it's going to be where the K is silent type thing. But it's going to be like fast food based with a twist. Yeah.
Oh my God, that sounds like such a fun concept for an escape room.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I don't think I've played a fast food escape room.
Neither have we. So that's why we kind of wanted to go down that aisle of like fast food. And we're even going to the point of looking at authentic RB furniture. So we want to go try to find the vintage RB signs and like marquee signs and all of that. In the works, but
I'm so excited. I love when escape rooms run with a different theme, because as seasoned enthusiasts, there's only so many jailbreaks, yes, or secret spy missions or heists that you can play before you just want something really different. So I'm glad you guys are really engaging with
the different
all of these fun concepts.
Yes. I'm into it.
Yeah.
I'm very into this. Aside from Carby's, what comes next for you both?
Nothing really. We do have some stuff in the works with some of our friends. We can't really speak on it. It's still something that's kind of in the wheels turning, but we do plan on maybe partnering with some people.
It's still in the escape room. Yeah.
Excellent. That is also very exciting.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to coming to Carby's. I'm going to go eat at Arby's.
She's coming with her. Game, Carby's.
It sounds like that might be the correct order. You might want to go before.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Where's the best place for people to connect with you or follow you and your work?
Instagram, Facebook, Google, social media, anything. Yeah, we're pretty much on all the platforms.
Our employees run the social medias for us.
Shout out to the employees.
I know, what? You don't have time for that? Shocker.
Hey, really?
Yeah, we tend to stay at the facility quite a bit, because to keep it successful and keeping the reviews the way they are and giving people a good satisfaction, a lot of people like it when they come in and they get to talk to the owners about the game and know that the establishment is still well taken care of. And that's why we do still spend a lot of time there. And not only that, employees, they kind of generally like knowing that we're there for the support, and it helps them too to show that we still care about the business and we're not just throwing them in the fire and walking away.
You can definitely feel that when you're at Confusion Escape.
Oh, good.
So we've reached the end here. Stacy, Al, thank you for all of the boundless creativity that you put on display at Confusion Escape. All of the different things that you've talked about today, the variety in gameplay and mechanics, the care about the craft of making and maintaining and operating these games, all of that stuff that you were talking about, you can really feel when you are playing a Confusion Escape game. Thank you for that. And thank you for all the fun. Can't wait to play Carby's.
Perfect.
The Reality Escape Pod is produced by Teresa Piazza, with support by Lisa Spira and Tommy Houghton. We're edited by Steve Ewing of Stand Inside Media, music by Ryan Elder, logo by Janine Procht, and all of this is brought to you by RoomEscapeArtist.com, your home for well-researched, rational, and reasonably humorous escape room and immersive gaming content and events. If we haven't made it clear enough this season, the Reality Escape Convention, Recon, is happening August 18th and 19th, 2024. And if you buy your tickets before May 1st, you will get special benefits in the form of priority session selection for Imagine Ne'er-Do-Wells and the 49 boxes. Do it now. Get your tickets. We'd also really appreciate it and hope to see you at Recon. You can learn more at realityescapecon.com. Details in the show notes. Believe it or not, we are 10 years into Room Escape Artist. And it took a long time for us to decide that we were going to go and open up a Patreon, but we eventually got there because some loyal readers at the time were really insistent. Over the years, we have added a lot of different things to that Patreon. People at the $5 level get access to the bonus show for this podcast. Folks at the $15 level get the incredible Spoilers Club. But more than anything, they get to support all of the things that we're doing here. And that, it's hard to tell you just how much that means to PG and I, to the entire team at Room Escape Artist. We put in so much time, so much love, and so much energy into everything that we are doing here to support the escape room and immersive gaming communities, to push them to be safer and more fun, to be smarter and more efficient, to try and pull new players in. We're working on all of these things all the time. And the money and support that we get from our Patreon community is the fuel that keeps all of that moving forward. If you're a part of that, thank you so much. And if you have been considering becoming a part of it, give it a shot. We really, truly will appreciate it. Thanks. You can learn more about all of this at patreon.com/roomescapeartist. Big thank you to our highest level Patreon supporters: Karen, Dawnward, Panic Room, Piyush from SEO Orb, Olivier Escape, Escaparium, Byron Delmonico, Breakout Games, Keystone Escape Games, Derek Tam, Paula Swan, and Rex Miller. Thank you for your ongoing support. And thank you to all of our patrons at all levels.
You've made it to the end of this podcast. You must be an amazing, resilient, and very loyal person. If you're still feeling that delightful afterglow, why don't you head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you review your podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. It really means a lot, and it helps us to spread the word.
When we were building Confusion, my father-in-law, he wanted something to do. I was having him do a job in the back. We were building our Game Master room. And I remember this day, I had left for a bit and Stacy was still there. And I had, hey, cut a hole in this wall where, you know, our Game Master room is going to be next door. There was like a 10x10 storage. We're going to make it a Game Master room. So he was cutting this wall out or whatever. And he comes to Stacy and he goes, hey, where do you want me to put this toilet? We're like, what toilet? There's no toilet in there. If there's a toilet, just throw it away. He goes, well, you want me to cut the plumbing off too? We're like, cut the plumbing off? What are you talking about? So this is supposed to be a storage. He cuts this big hole in the wall and he cuts it to a bathroom.
Imagine. It was a working open bathroom. So thankfully nobody was there, which is now Lampkin, of course. But thankfully.
Which is now Lampkin. But so we told the owners, we're like, hey, there's a spot that's about 4 feet wide in between where we wanted our storage. And they didn't even realize it was there. And they were like, we didn't know the bathroom went this way. It was the funniest thing ever. My dad was like, he's walking around with this saw, like.
Thanks.
So Dad. We wind up having to patch the wall back up, and which now is Lampkin.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.